الهی
اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا ابي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد واهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وارواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي نحن نقص عليك احسن القصص بما اوحينا اليك هذا القران وان كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين We recount to you the best of stories through this Quran which we have revealed to you. And indeed, prior to it, you are among those who are unaware of it. Tonight, as usual, we are working to prepare ourselves for the return of our master, the Yusuf of our time. We're using this story of Surah Yusuf and these ayat for inspiration so that we change ourselves, we better ourselves. This surah reminds us of the situation we're in. And we'll get to that, inshallah, but maybe later on. But in the story, we'll see that there's a young man in a situation where he is drawn towards not being chased, and he resists. Although the world was offering itself to him, he stood fast. And for those of us who are here, we can identify with that very easily. All around us are those who are trying to pull us towards shaitan and away from Allah, towards the simple pleasures of this world instead of being godly and standing firm based on our principles. But Hazrat Yusuf was able to maintain his faith, and we hope that when we ponder over this surah, we are able to maintain our faith and be true for our iman. So we start off with this story, which is talking about how the surah Yusuf is the best surah, best story in the whole Quran. Whereas the Qur'an itself has also been described in the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt as being Ahsanul Qasas. There's a couple of reasons why we would call the Qur'an the best of stories. Salawat. The first one, The first one is that we judge stories a lot of time by the author and by the content. If you want to see if a book is really good or a story is really wonderful, the content of the story is important, and many times the author, because of how talented the author is. But here, the author is God. Allah is telling us the story. The content is from Him. There's a verse of Quran which reminds us of this. In Surah 18, verse number 13. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ We, God is saying, we relate to you their account with truth. That's another point that makes the Quranic stories better than others. That human accounts, historical accounts, are mixed with a little bit of falsehood sometimes, and sometimes it's just human error. But these words are the words of God from the beginning till the end. So that's one. The other thing that we find in the verses of the Holy Quran, reminders about why this story is so important, and the Quran itself is actually the best of stories, this is in Surah Yusuf itself. Allah is talking about stories again. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَسَسِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ There is certainly a lesson in their accounts for those who possess intellect. Quranic stories are not there to put us to sleep. They're lessons that we're learning from them. Allah chose the most important points out of the history of man and chose to tell them to us. Not only did He tell us these stories, but then He drew conclusions from them. Lessons, reasons why nations failed and why others succeeded. And all of that is in these Quranic stories. So there are lessons in these stories for those who have intellect. They're stories to wake us up, not put us to sleep. The other thing we find out about the surahs, which are from the Holy Quran, is that they are here for us to ponder over them and to think. This is in Surah Al-A'raf, and it's verse number 176. فَقْصُصِ الْقَصَصِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ Tell the stories, so recount these narratives so that they may reflect. These stories that we find in the Holy Quran are there for us to learn from. We want them to be common knowledge for us, for our children, for all of those who we associate with, and we're told these stories to reflect on them, to benefit from them. Now, the thing about telling stories, the beautiful thing about stories, is that with stories, everyone can benefit. We all benefit from stories. It doesn't matter our intellectual level. It doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are. When we hear a story, especially a story with meaning, a wise story, we can benefit from it. Sometimes if it's just dry intellectual arguments, it's difficult to benefit from them. There's a special audience that can benefit from those deep, deep intellectual arguments, but not everybody. They're not for everybody. We don't all benefit from them in the same way. But a story is different. We can get the story. We can learn from the story. Of course, the Quran has all of that. It has laws, rules, instructions, how to be with our families, how to be in society, how to rule the world. We'll see, inshallah, when the Mahdi returns, those rules will be implemented. We'll run the world based on those rules. So it has those laws from the smallest details to the biggest of events. Islam has given us instructions. So one part of the Holy Quran are those laws, but it's not only the laws. In addition, we also find those deep intellectual arguments, those deep ma'arif, which are talking about God and the reality of his existence. There's a tradition. This one is from Imam Sajjad, salamullah alayh. This is what he says. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَ عَلِمَ أَنَّهُ يَكُونُ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ أَقْوَامٌ مُتَعَمِّقُونَ He says, Allah knew that in the end of time, there would be people who'd be able to grasp really deep concepts. There would be people who'd be able to benefit from those deep intellectual arguments. The Imam continues, فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ وَالْآيَاتِ مِنْ سُورَةِ الْحَدِيدِ Allah sent those verses which are very difficult, take a lot of explanation, Surah Tawheed, talking about the oneness of Allah, and also some verses from Surah Al-Hadid. So that part is there too. It's not that the Quran lacks the deep intellectual argument or that we don't benefit from it at all, but it's easier for all of us to benefit from stories. Now, if we want to benefit, I said one point in the beginning because there's a shubha, a doubt that might come into mind. And that is that, yeah, stories, you know, that's for those who are not of intellectual caliber. I am quite wise. I have a PhD. You know, tell me those intellectual stories. Yes, you know, the ma'arif. I want to know that. Right? But we said the ayat of Quran are for everybody. It doesn't matter if we had a lot of secular education to say, well, no, I don't benefit from the stories. I'm above and beyond that. God forbid someone come to the teachings of the Quran and feel that they're above it. Tell me something else, something higher than the words of God. That secular education or religious education is dangerous. Education without training, without tarbiyah, without working on the self can be really dangerous. It can drive us to hell. Let me give you a story, not about secular education, religious education, that was not accompanied with training and tarbiyah, which is what we're trying to do over these few days. We're trying to remind ourselves it's not only about knowledge. It's about working on myself, bettering myself, humbling my heart before God, and practice. This brother, and I'm not going to mention a name, was an alim and very talented. So talented that he reaches those high levels of philosophy and ijtihad to the extent that he refused to pass salams to Hazrat Ma'asuma in Qum. He said that she's a girl. She doesn't know philosophy. She does ijtihad. I am the alim. How can I pass salams to her? Knowledge without tarbiyah, secular or religious. Things got so bad for this brother, he ended up cooperating with Saddam and fighting the Islamic Republic. That's what happens when we have knowledge, secular or religious, without training. If our knowledge is not making us more humble, secular or religious, there's something wrong with us. We have an hadith, we get this from hadith, that the person who has knowledge is like a tree. You know how trees, if there's fruit on the trees, the branches go down? That's what knowledge is supposed to do to us. Not that I don't have any knowledge, the tree's branches are sticking straight up in the air. Arrogant. We don't want that to happen. So knowledge is supposed to make us more humble. When it comes to these stories from the Quran, there's another secret too. The more we work on ourselves, we try and figure out what the diseases of our heart are. This is from the leader. He was saying to even write it down on a piece of paper, if I remember correctly. The advice, though, was that find out what the sins are, the problems are that you have. Identify them. I have this problem. I have this problem. I have this problem. And then to work and identify and remove those problems from ourselves. So we want to be really careful about that. But what does happen, what does help us get more from Quran and Sunnah is self-purification. The more we purify ourselves, we will understand things from Quran and Sunnah that others don't understand. Later on, you might be able to show others where in the Quran it shows this, but you've understood something that you've been taught by another source. It depends on your purity. Let me give you a verse which talks about this. This is in Surah 57, and it's verse number 28. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ O you who believe, have taqwa of God, fear God, be God-weary. وَآمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ And accept or have faith in his prophet. يُؤْتِكُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ He will give you a double share of his mercy and give you light to walk by. So, what Allama Tabatabai says is that when Allah is commanding us to have taqwa and to believe in the Prophet, he's telling us to have iman on top of iman. This is not just regular iman. It's obvious that iman has levels. But if I want to get to the end, the natija that's promised in the Quran, I have to work on it and strengthen my faith. Iman on top of iman. So Allah's pushing us to get to that higher level. Then Allama answers another question. How do I get to that level of iman, that perfect and complete iman, that pure tawheed? He says that it's doing ittiba, following the Prophet in everything, both in the orders that the Prophet gives you in a religious context and also in a social context. Sometimes for us as Muslims, when the Prophet would implement his wilaya, that would be difficult for the believers to respond to. I'll give you an example, because it might happen to us. There's examples now of us being compelled to show our Islam on a social stage and Allah tests us. Let me give you an example from the time of the Prophet. In the time of the Prophet, the believers were so devoted to the Prophet when it came to religious matters, shari'i issues, so devoted, it's recorded in history that when the Prophet would make wudu, the people would run and put their hands under the Prophet's, the water that was dripping off of the Prophet for tabarruk. That much attachment to the Prophet when it came to those religious issues. But then when it came to the issue of wilaya, And the prophet interfering in your life and making someone be an authority over you, the Muslims failed utterly. So he says that in both areas, when the prophet's going to implement his wilaya, and also in those shar'i, religious issues, that perfect and complete obedience. That's what we're looking for. If we have that, then what do we get? يُؤْتِكُمْ كِفْلَيْن مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ Allah will give you a double share of His mercy. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ He will give you a light to walk by. Here it really gets interesting. Allah Ta'ala says, some people say He'll give you a light to walk by, يعني في الآخرة. In the next world you'll get that light to walk by, not here. But Allah says no. رضوان الله تعالى عليه. In Tafsir al-Mizan, he says, no, that's a mistake. That's putting a clause on the verse without there being one. The verse is absolute. This world and the next. Allah will give you that light to walk by if you have that perfect and complete ittiba'. Both in your private practice and also in social issues where you're supposed to obey the wilaya. So, the idea that there is other stuff that we can get, that the religion is more than just the apparent, whether in the practical studies of Islam, that's wonderful, that's there, that's a necessity, but there's more to the religion than that. Purifying ourselves gives us access to those other sciences, that light that we can walk by, to realize what our responsibility is supposed to be, to do what our taklif is. So just because some may misuse this under the name of Irfan and misguide people, that shouldn't make us throw out the baby with the bathwater. It's all a lie. None of the religion is nothing more than the apparent. No, there are other things there too. Other sciences which Allah bestows on His special servants and we have access to. Let me give you a story now to make this practical. This is something human beings can achieve. This story is from three ayatollahs. There were three ayatollahs who were walking together. They were all friends. Ayatollah al-Uzma Khoi. Apparently this story took place in Najaf. Ayatollah Khoi was there. Ayatollah al-Uzma Milani was another marja. And Ayatollah and Alama Tabatabai, Ridwanullah Ta'ala alayh. They were classmates, they were studying, they were friends. And Ayatollah Milani, Ayatollah Khoi we know about. Marja, he was also an arif. He was also usuli. We're benefiting from his books now in the Hawza. Many of the maraja, the current maraja, are students of Ayatollah Khoi. So we know about him. Ayatollah al-Uzma Milani was another great and important individual. For those of us who refer to the books on Aqa'id, we find that many of them have been written by Ayatollah Milani. And he was also very revolutionary. Although he was at the stage where he was qualified to be a marja, because he realized the sensitivity of the situation, he told people, refer to Imam Khomeini. Right now, that's the person who needs to be strengthened. Very revolutionary. All three of them were students of Irfan. They were students of Qadi Tabatabai. Anyhow, all three were walking. Oh, before I get to the knowledge, one point I should explain, because Ayatollah Sistani, may Allah protect him, made a statement. He said that there are some who say that the Hawza in Najaf is opposed to Irfan and the other sciences. And he said that, why is it that people are doing this? He said, no, in this interview, which happened recently, he explained that he said, no, Sayyid Qadi Tabatabai, Allama Tabatabai are students of Najaf. They were trained in Najaf. The Hawza is the place for these things. So we don't want to let these shubahat get into our minds, these doubts that people try to create. In any case, back to our story. They were all students walking together, and Allama Tabatabai was also someone who could have become a marja very easily. But he chose to take a different route to perform his taklif. All three of them are walking, all three of them say it, all three of them mujtahid. Apparently they would be mujtahid probably at this time. All walking, and they say a youth approached them with a difficult question. They looked at one another, who should answer, and they said, ask Sayyid Muhammad Hussein. Allahumma tabarakatuh. Ask him. And he gave him a very profound answer. The youth would ask the question, gave a very profound answer. Then Ayatollah Khoi turned to Ayatollah Milani. He said that if that answer was from books, we would know that answer too. We studied the same books. We're all talented. We studied the same books. He's getting it from another source. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ. Through self-purification, Allah will reveal things and explain things to you. You'll be able to understand them from the sources. So the purer we are, when we refer to these Quranic stories, the more we'll get from these stories.
نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين.
The other thing is, why is this story the best of stories? The story of Surah Yusuf. And what Allama Tabatabai explains, the first explanation that he gives, he explains that this is a story of the walaya of God for his servant. How Allah takes his servant's hand and he trains him and he nurtures him fi sirat al-hub, in the way of love of God. So Allah took him from slavery, he took him from prison, he brought him honor, he gave him kingdom. All of these things we find in this story. So all the Quran itself is Ahsan al-Qasas, as we find in the Holy Quran. But of all of the Quranic stories, this is the best one.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
There's another point that we get from this surah. A question that might come to mind. Let's look at the wording of the verse of Quran.
نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ وَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ.
The question that might come to mind is, how does Allah talk to the Prophet in this way? You see the arrogance of God in this surah? نَحْنُ. Allah refers to himself as we. We are telling you this story through the Quran, which we revealed to you. We. And prior to this, you were unaware of it, you, the Prophet. Allah speaking to his beloved in this way, a master to a slave. Nahnu, you.
We're reminded of a very important lesson in Islamic spirituality, and that is the arrogance of God and the reality of our relationship with him. Allah wants us to be slaves.
This is different to what we find in the West. We're not trying to encourage anybody to accept the religion without surrendering. We're saying, no, first think, ponder, but then after that you come to Islam and you submit. You are a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
We have to change our attitudes a little bit if we want to get to those higher stages of Islamic spirituality. We have to stop being free people and become slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me give you a story. Because the relationship we have with God is that of a slave and a master, not a free person. One story. This is from the time of Imam Qadhim.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
They say that Imam Kadhim was passing by a house. And in the house, you could hear the music. It was live. The Imam's walking, and the music is playing, blasting. He passes the house, and there's a girl who works in the house, a slave girl, and she comes out, and she's trying to pick, like, to put out the garbage. So the Imam asked her, he said, is the owner of this house a free person? Is he hur, a free person, or is he an abd? And the girl told him, no, obviously a guy with this big house, owner of many slaves? Obviously he's a free man. He's hur. The Imam said, yeah, that's obvious. If he was a slave, he wouldn't behave like this. And he walked. The girl finished and she came back into the house. And the owner of the house saw her. What took you so long? What happened? She said, nothing really happened, but I met this really outstanding gentleman. He asked me, he said, is the owner of this house a free person or a slave? And I said, no, obviously he's a free person. The owner of the house, his name was Bishr. He understood this was no ordinary person. Yeah, that's true. I'm living as a free person. I'm not a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I do whatever I want. He felt terrible and he came running out of the house, chased after the imam. He made tawbah and his life changed. Bishr became an abd, whereas before he had been free. If we want to benefit from the Quran, if we want to be soldiers of the Mahdi, we have to become abd, abid, slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't do whatever we want and think that that's freedom. We have to come to the realization that the perfect relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when we're that of a slave. We get permission from our master. Even when it comes to the philosophy of Islamic laws, we're never, no matter how close we get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll never be Allah's cousin. You know, give Allah a bear hug. It'll never reach that stage. It'll always, no matter, the more we purify ourselves, the more we realize that we're nothing. Everything we have is from Him. Antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. You don't have anything of yourselves. You meaning myself. Everything you have, your money, your talent, your house, your looks, your job, your education, everything I've given you is from me. I'm your master. Whatever I say you do. That's when we can be a soldier of the Imam. Not by being free, doing whatever we want. And we have to willingly submit to God. So, even when it comes to the rules of Islam, because sometimes there's discussion, they're like, I want to know the philosophy behind the ahkam. Why is it that we do this? And then sometimes, in order to convince ourselves or others, we come up with these weak philosophies, not found in Quran and Sunnah. Oh, why do you do this? Oh, I don't eat pork because in pork there's worms. Who said you don't eat pork because there's worms in pork, for instance? Oh, they're weak arguments. I'm convincing myself. Islam makes sense. And I just come over and just make up these little philosophies. No, sometimes you're not supposed to know why you're doing it. Sometimes you're just supposed to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know Allah's wise. You know that Allah knows better. But a slave doesn't even question. Yes, if it's explained in Sunnah, alhamdulillah, Allah said this is why we do it. But sometimes, no. Allah tests us through this. And it's in hadith now, he sees who's ignorant, who's arrogant from who's not arrogant through this. Imam Ali describes this. It's from the words of Imam Ali now. There's a khutbah where it's the longest khutbah in Nahj al-Balagha. And the Imam is describing over their situation. This is what he says. He says that when it came to the test that the angels had with Adam, alayhi salam, he says that if Allah wanted, He could have given Adam this special nur that would have overwhelmed the senses of the malaika. They would have been like, this creature is beyond this world. Or He could have given him a wonderful smell. Right? He says it would have been easy for the angels if they thought we're dealing with a superior being. It would have been easy to prostrate. Allah didn't do that. I made him from clay, prostrate to him. Do you obey me or not? Then the Imam says these words, وَلَكِنَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ يَبْتَلِي خَلْقَهُ بِبَعْضِ مَا يَجْحَلُونَ أَسْلَهُ. Allah tests His creation through their ignorance. Words of Imam Ali. Deliberately, Allah doesn't tell you why you're doing this. He wants to see, are you going to do it? Or are you arrogant? Yes, we know the laws of Islam are based on reason. There's definitely a reason why Allah did everything, why He gave all those commands. But we don't obey Allah because His rulings make sense. That's what you do with a doctor, you know, or an advisor. Yeah, so what is it looking like over there? Well, it's better to buy, you know, this kind of car. It gives you better gas mileage. Then you think, yes, you're an expert in the field. It does get better gas mileage. I'll buy this car. Thank you very much. The relationship of a king, a master, and a slave isn't like that. You do it because God said. Why is it that if I have doubt between the second and third, I have to repeat my prayer? Because I said, that's why. Philosophy, I don't want to have a philosophy for it. Do it. Slaves submit. The relationship that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those people want to be the true soldiers of the Mahdi, is that of a slave. Even more than just obeying, because sometimes if I'm a practicing Muslim, I'm not living like Bishr, that the alcohol and, you know, all of those things. But sometimes maybe in my heart, I still haven't submitted entirely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm still making little philosophies for myself and convincing myself. And as long as it makes sense, I do it. But the soldiers of the Mahdi have to dig deeper, because Allah said. Is there a reason for it? Definitely. Do I know it? Not necessarily. I don't have to know it. I have to know that Allah, who knows better than me, who cares about me more than I care about myself, He said it. That's why. So, this is what it is in the thing, in the hadith and the traditions. If we find the reason for the ahkam in the traditions, we follow that and we say that's the reason for the ahkam. There's sometimes we don't know, but we know that God said it, that's enough. So when we're slaves, what we're looking for is proof between us and God, so that on the last day, I'm not even looking to find out if definitely the ruling of my mujtahid is what is in God's knowledge. Right? Question comes up. Why is it that mujtahids differ? We talked about mujtahideen the other night. They're human beings. Sometimes, even despite that purity, despite that above average intellect, despite that research, they come up with different rulings. I'm not looking for, but who knows which one of them is the one God actually said? Well, I don't know. And that's not important. On the day of judgment, I want to, between me and God, to say that Allah, my master, you told me in the absence of the Mahdi to follow your representatives. They said this. I have proof between me and God for why I'm doing what I'm doing. Not that I know. I don't even care. Is that what God's ruling is? I don't know. Between me and Him, this is proof. I'm a slave. I do what I'm told. So this is what we're looking for with the soldiers of the Mahdi. It gets a little tougher than that, though. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Nahnu naqussu alayka ahsan al-qasasi bima awhayna ilayka hadha al-Qur'an wa in kunta min qablihi lamina al-ghafilin. I said Allah likes slaves, right? But when Allah likes slaves, He'll test you even further. He'll put up a representative, and now you've got to submit to the representative if you want to submit to God. You know what Shaitan said? It's mentioned in our books that he told God, he was like, you just let me not prostrate to Adam. I will worship you like no other creation has worshipped you. Just relieve me of this. Don't make me prostrate before this person. Allah told him, no. I want to be worshipped as I command. You do what I say. Now you go over, I'll worship you in this way. No. Submission. Submission. So Allah will test you and make you submit to those who He's placed in authority over you. This is now talking about the soldiers of Imam al-Mahdi. Because we're training ourselves right now, preparing that if someone is identified as a representative of the Imam, we obey them. That's training for us for when the Imam arrives. Let's look at the hadith now. This is from Imam Sadiq,
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم
صل على محمد وآل محمد.
He's talking about the soldiers of the Mahdi, and this is what he says. هم أطوع له من الأمة لسيدها. He says that the soldiers of the Imam Mahdi are more obedient than a slave girl to her master. That's how obedient they are of the Imam of their time. Complete submission to the master. Not only the master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but whoever has been placed in authority.
You want to know the reason for the secret of the greatness of Sayyid Nasrullah? It's how he deals with wilaya. If you guys remember, after the war and the victory, when he came to see the leader, and the eyes of the world were on him, and he is the leader, he has fought off these terrible enemies, unbelievable defense. Then, in front of the leader, in front of the eyes of the world, he goes and he kisses his hand. If you had any sort of ego, pride, lack of submission, you'd never be able to do that in front of the camera. The world is looking at you, the most popular leader in the entire Arab world. And you go over and you submit. Kiss the hand of the leader. That's the secret for success. Being willing to submit to those who've been placed in authority. There's another problem though. What happens if I'm not like that? Let's say I still have not resolved these issues of obedience to Allah and being a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only a slave of Allah, but whoever Allah points me to and says, submit to this individual, I'm not ready to do that. What will happen? Hadith now. It's a little bit scary, but it's okay.
مَنْ لَمْ يُنْفِقْ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ.
Whoever doesn't spend in the way of obedience to God, I can't submit when I'm supposed to.
أُبْتُلِيَ بِأَنْ يُنْفِقَ فِي مَعْسِيَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ.
The person will be afflicted, will be tried, will be forced to spend in the ma'siyah of Allah. You can't ride the fence one way or the other.
وَمَنْ لَمْ يَمْشِي فِي حَاجَةِ وَلِيِّ اللَّهِ.
Whoever doesn't walk and help and assist the wali of Allah,
أُبْتُلِيَ بِأَنْ يَمْشِيَ فِي حَاجَةِ عَدُوِّ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ.
And you can see this happening around you, but we're not trying to point fingers, we're trying to look at ourselves. Let me give you one example from history. The son of the second Khalifa did not make bay'at to Ali, alayhi salam. He refused. And Amir al-Mu'mineen didn't force him. He refused. Later, in the time of Hajjaj, when Hajjaj came to the power, he came to him and he said that, I remember this hadith, that whoever doesn't have the bay'ah of the imam of his time, this person dies the death of jahiliyyah, so I want to make allegiance to you. They say Hajjaj was sleeping at this time. Comes in this guy begging to make, you won't make bay'ah to Ali? What does Allah force you to do? You make bay'ah to Hajjaj. Hajjaj just stuck his foot out from under the covers. Okay, need to make bay'ah to my foot. So if we refuse, if we're arrogant, if we can't submit, we will make bay'ah, but we'll make bay'ah in the wrong way. If we're looking for sharaf and izzah and strength and quwwah, it's only through submitting through Allah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to his representative. If we don't, if we have a problem with that, if we're a runaway slave from Allah, we'll be a house slave for somebody else. I'm going to quote Malcolm X here for a second, okay? It's okay. Quote Malcolm X. Malcolm X was one time, you know that in America, black people used to be slaves. Black people were slaves in America, okay? And he was talking about two kinds of slaves. He said there were some slaves who were, the words he used, field Negroes. And he said there were other who were house Negroes. Field Negroes, house Negroes. He said there was a difference between the two. He said the house slave, the house Negro, he said that guy, he loved the master. If the master got sick, he's like, "Massa, we sick." If the house got was on fire, he want to put the fire out. He was different to the field Negro. That guy hated the master. The master got sick, he'd pray that he'd die. Want a wind to blow? Blow the house down. I don't care. The soldiers of Imam Mahdi are slaves to the Mahdi, to Islam, to the leadership. But then when it comes to the West, no. So you have house Muslims and you got field Muslims. House Muslims are people who suck up to the West. They're intimidated by the West. They're impressed. They try and find ways of making Islam fit in, of apologizing for Islam, of kissing the master's boots. They're worried about the system. Is it going to make it? Are we going to make it through the financial crisis? Not the field Muslims. The field Muslims, no, they're like, "Well, we're waiting for our master. This thing can all burn down as far as I care. I'm not intimidated by the West, not impressed, not by their financial success, not by the so-called civilization. I don't apologize for being a Muslim. I don't bend over backwards. When there's an opportunity for me to stick to my faith and stand on my principles, I'll do that. Not looking for a way out, any way to apologize." We want to check ourselves, though. We don't want to point fingers. Are we field Muslims? Or are we house Muslims? Do we submit to Islam and the teachings of Islam in our hearts and in our actions? Or no, are we house Muslims? And you can be a house Muslim even if you're a knucklehead, you know? Some people are knuckleheads. "I don't listen to authority. I do this, I do that." Well, I'm still a house Muslim because I listen to myself. I'm not a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order to be a slave of Allah, I got to be a field Muslim. I accept my own master, not the masters others have placed over me. Now, for those of us who want to be the soldiers of Imam al-Mahdi, and we want to serve the cause and be slaves of Allah, in addition to submitting to our leadership and following those who've been placed in authority over us, in addition to that, we also have to be humble towards other believers. This is again a test, a sign to see whether we are ready for the Mahdi or not. Because Allah wants us to be humble before other believers also. Let me quote you the verse of Quran. This is from Surah 48, and it's verse number 29. Muhammadun Rasulullah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Walladhina ma'ahu ashidda'u ala al-kuffar ruhama'u baynahum. The Prophet of God, Muhammad, he and the believers are firm when it comes to the non-believers, but they're merciful when it comes to the believers. Humble before the believers. Kind to other believers. And again, this verse doesn't mean when we hear, you know, ashiddaw alal kuffar, that's just the verse I needed to hear. You know, I'm a little bit of a knucklehead myself. Kuffar, you know, find an old man trying to get on the bus, get out the way, ashiddaw alal kuffar. I steal from the country, I do whatever I want. Ashiddaw alal, no. To invite to Islam through our actions. We're kind to others, right? We have verses of Quran about that, about those who've not made war on you. How are we going to get these people to come to Islam? Not by, you know, taking a verse like this, misunderstanding it, trying to run rampant over everybody. You know, ashiddaw alal kuffar. I remember in one area, I won't mention any names, the Muslims had a habit of stealing from the insurance companies, what they do is that they would deliberately, they get arson insurance, and they'd set their businesses on fire, you know, liberating this money. No, obviously that's not the message of the Quran. When it comes to those enemies of Islam, the enemies of Islam, yeah, we're firm. We don't bow down. We don't back over. I'm not talking about that right now, though. I'm saying that if we are Muslims and if we're soldiers of the Mahdi, if we're humble, then how are we when it comes to other Muslims? For example, let's say someone comes to the center. Right? Just as an example. Someone comes to the center and they're new to the center. Do we go out of our way to welcome that person? To say salams, to introduce ourselves, to see if the person needs any help? Ruhama ubainahum. When it comes to our family members, are we like that? When it comes to others, are we kind to them? Are we ready to serve them? Or do we still have ego when we're dealing with them? Are we real slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, humble before everybody Allah said humble before? Or are we arrogant to them? Let me give you one example from one of the shuhada. This brother's name was Mahdi Zainuddin. Somebody's explaining the story. They said that I was a Basiji, right? I was going to use the bathroom out on the battlefront. And he said that we didn't have running water out there. We had what we call in Farsi, aftabe. Like we had these like water canisters, right? You can't use the bathroom, there's no running water. So you'd have these canisters, you pick up the thing and you pour it on yourself, and that's how you do your tahara. So he said that I was new to use the bathroom, and all of those aftabe, those water canisters, they were all empty. He said the water was around 300, let's say 400, half a mile away. Right? And I couldn't be bothered to go over there. He said I saw a Basiji standing there, and I told him, take this water canister, go fill it up, bring some water for me, I need to use the bathroom. He said the guy went, the Basiji, he got it, he went, filled it up with water, he came back, and then when I saw the water, I was like, this water is still, you know, a little dirty. You know, when you get cleaner water, if you just gone a little bit further, there's better water over there. He said the Basiji didn't say anything, he took it, he started walking, went, brought back the water, and alhamdulillah, jazakum Allah khair. He said, after a couple of days or the next day, the commander, the general, the person who was in charge of that base was speaking. So I walked in, and it's the same guy. Any sort of ego, any sort of not being a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having an attitude will keep you from doing something like that. But in order to be those elite soldiers of the Imam, we have to surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we'd like to go to Karbala to see some practical examples of this. We ask Allah to help us be like these individuals. Please, everybody, close your eyes. With the eyes of your heart, travel to Karbala.
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. We travel tonight to those sandy plains of Karbala. We're looking for forgiveness. We want Allah to forgive us for our mistakes. Yes, maybe it's true we have not been slaves, but we want to be slaves. We want to go back to our master. We remember a man called Hur. Hur was one of those people who at first was not a slave of Allah. At first he went out to fight the Imam of his time. He was the first one to stop his Imam. He came with his horsemen and he refused to allow his Imam to travel. But Hur had a good point. Hur was humble. Hur didn't break all of the rules. There was some submission in Hur. Imam Hussein told him, he said, "May your mother grieve over you." And Hur said, "If anybody else had told me that, I would have said the same thing about his mother, but I can't say that about your mother. Your mother is Fatima." So Hur was humble. Hur was bad, but Hur didn't break all of the rules. Because of that, Hur got Tawfiq. When it came to finally deciding that there would be a battle, Hur asked the general, Hur said, "Are you intending to fight this man?" He said, "Yes, we're going to be cutting off heads and hands." Hur started to tremble. One of his companions said that if I saw anybody I thought they were brave, I would think of you. Hur answered, he said, "Inni wallah ukhayyiru nafsi bain al-jannah wan-nar. I'm being forced to choose between paradise and hell. Fa wallah la akhtaru ala al-jannah shay. I won't choose anything over paradise, even if my hands are cut and I am burned." Hur went to his master, the Imam of his time. Hur was reciting some words. He said, "Allahumma inni tubtu ilayk." He said, "Allah, I'm making tawbah to you. Fatub alayya. Forgive me, Allah subhanahu." He said that I frightened these people. I frightened Aulad bint Nabiyyik. He came to his Imam. He said that I am the one who stopped you. He said, "I didn't think these people would get this far." He said, "Ana ta'ib ilallah, fa hal tara li min tawba." He said, "I've turned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to be a slave. Hal li min tawba. Is there a way for me to turn back?" His Imam told him, "Naam, yatubullahu alayk fa anzil." He said, "Yes, Allah will have mercy upon you. Allah will forgive you. Turn back to him. Make tawbah. Allah will accept you. Come off your horse." Hur said, "I have to make up for all that I did. I want to be the first one to fight your enemies. I'm hoping after that I can be akunu mimman usafihu jaddad Muhammad. I'm hoping I can shake the hand of your grandfather." When Hur got his opportunity, he asked for permission and he started to fight. He fought and killed many of the enemy till finally he was killed and he was brought to his master. But his master accepted him. He started to wipe the blood off of his face and he said, "Antal Hur kama sammatka umuk. You are free as your mother named you. Hurrun fid dunya wa hurrun fil akhirah." We ask Allah by the word of Muhammad, wa al Muhammad, that He protect all of us, that He protect all of the believers, all of the Maraja. We ask Allah to protect the Muslims wherever they are, and that their revolution connects to the revolution of the Mahdi. We ask Allah to protect the Shia of Bahrain especially, and all of the other believers. We ask Allah to protect all of the Maraja, and especially the leader, Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Salawat.
Ilahi.